Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we are thankful, Father, to be here this morning. We thank you, Father, Lord, for your love toward us once again. As we see, Lord, the condition of the world, fast approaching, O Lord, the great day of its own destruction, we see, O Father, the wickedness of man and sin on the rise, Lord, and men are so much affected by the political situation, the social situation, the religious also, Lord, realm itself. And we know, Father, that the bottomless pit, its lid, Lord, has been more open today than it was years ago when all these demonic spirits are being released upon this earth to try the hearts of men. And Lord, to bring about, Lord Father, it's the day when they will have great tribulation upon the earth and all the spirits will really run wild. But Lord, we know as you approach that day, here we are today, Father, by your grace and by your love for us, O Lord, that we are here because of your agape in us that holds us, O Father, in thy hand. The Lord, we are assured, Father, that you will guide us through the day, O Father, that you promised that you will be with us always to the end of the world. And we ask of you, Lord, nevertheless, we are human, Father. We are still in the flesh, and there's all this desire, this temptation that is around us, Father, in this world that will come against us, Lord, and the devil will continue to fight the battle against us, even though we know, Lord, the war has been won and the victory is ours, Lord. But Satan never recognized the war being over and victory is already ours, Lord. But he will still try and do battle against your saints, Lord, everywhere and against every one of yours, Lord, that belongs to you, and try to bring them down and cause much distress and pain in their life. But so, Father, we ask you that great this morning, when it has approached this important subject, now just a little discussion and sharing, O Father, of how that we should look at the condition of this marriage and the sacredness of marriage, Lord, and how that we should realize, Lord, you have made man and woman to be one, and the importance of, Lord, to see these serious things in this life. And so, Father, as we approach it, O Lord, we ask for your prayer and that you bless every one of us here today, those that are married, those that are not, and those that consider the marriage life. We pray, the Lord, you will help us understand anyway. And those that might be hearing this on the audio or the video, watching it, Lord, around other parts of the world, we pray for those other that have the same problem going through this life. We ask the Lord, you guide them through also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, God bless you. Now we want to look at this question here. This is an email that came in. For those who are watching on the video, wondering why I'm not showing this on the video for you, it's because it's considered a correspondent letter, so we will not be mentioning name. You're just going to hear some of the word that will be read out here. Now, over the past, as I said, last week itself, after Sister Eunice and Brother Ben's wedding, two letters came in. As you can see, the date itself is March the 16th. Now, prior to this, last week, there were already others, other letters that came in. And you know, it's the next letter which I'm going to share with you. You can see how the brother said, Brother Gunn is going to weigh very heavily on you. Because there's always a responsibility as a minister of God when people ask questions, especially when it comes to marriage and divorce, especially marriage and divorce. And the problem is that whatever I'm going to say, the Branham might will be against it. They will always be quoting Brother Branham and say, Brother Branham said this, Brother Branham said this. There are many things that Brother Branham don't detail. And every individual life, marriages, they're all different. The marriage are different. And so, the couple that live together in the house, they have their own problem. Their problems are different from the other couples. So we cannot just simply put one answer to the problem of a family and throw it out to the others. That's the reason why Brother Branham said, if you have any problem, you know, he mentioned it in his, when he talks about these marriage things and, you know, woman and man relationship, he said, you make an appointment, come see me. You know, because there are certain things you cannot just say it in a congregation. I mean, in his days, you know, being the what Brother Branham, the kind of man he was, there are certain things he doesn't want to say it out, especially when you talk about sexual things. But today, it is more free today for us to realize that we can talk about sexual organ, you know, we can talk about the pudendals, you know, but in those days, you know, Brother Branham said, you know what I mean, you know, human body, there, and this and that. You know, and today it seems very strange because sometimes when we study biology, and I said this before, when we study biology in school, we talk about the male and female organ, we talk about the male and female body, we talk about the physiology, the anatomy, and we can use a biological word regarding the female organ. And today, you know, in the church, we don't even want to use those words. Why? Is there something wrong with those words? To say those words out, you know. And words there are people that we accept it. You say, oh, the breast of the woman. But it's kind of acceptable because you find it in the Bible. The breast of Christ, we know laying on the breast of Christ. People are all kind of acceptable. But when you use the word bust, B-U-S-T, oh, it's a no-no thing. That sort of thing, maybe, you know. So there's a lot of problem when we come to sexual issue, you know, I said this in the past, those who are parents, you have a responsibility to raise your children up in the fear of the Lord, you have a responsibility to teach them the birds and the bees issue. You don't leave it to the teacher in school. No, you don't. Because it's not the responsibility of the teacher in the school to teach about the birds and the bees to your children. It's your responsibility as a father and mother to raise them up. In my days, my parents don't tell us about the birds and the bees. We were told that, you know, when we ask, how do we come to the world? Oh, well, we pick you from the dustbin. Somebody threw you in the dustbin, so we pick you up from the dustbin. Or we saw you at the, in a place somewhere near the drain, so we pick you up. In America, in British, in the European countries, the stock deliver it. So then why is it so difficult to talk about the birds and the bees? So when we grow up, you know, kids, we don't know nothing about the birds and the bees. But in our days, it's not so bad. We don't have the influence today. But today, young ones, primary schools and secondary school, you lock on the internet, you have lots of birds and the bees that is the wrong sense. Those are corrupt articles and messages concerning birds and the bees. And that's why we have a problem in the world today. We have a lot of problem in Singapore today. Youngsters and all this growing up about this relationship, boy and girl relationship. You know, last week I was talking about, I don't know, was it last year or the week on the Friday? I said that the divorce rate in Singapore is, from back in our days, my days in the 60s, divorce rate is 1 in 20, then 1 in 12. You know, then I thought that today, last 2 weeks ago, I said that I thought it was about 20%. No, I just heard on the news just 2 days ago that three out of 10 marriages end in divorce. That's 30%. No longer 20%. It used to be 1 out of 20, 1 out of 12, now it's 3 out of 10. So you see, what's wrong with this marriage? You know, today we just want to share about this sacredness of marriage life. How important that really is to every one of us. For those who are of us already married, we are stuck with the husband, we are stuck with the wife, we have problems with each other, there's always this compatibility and incompatibility issues. And all this being discussed out there, and the divorce, and say, I'm not compatible with my husband now, I discovered after 20 years of marriage. Wow. What, after 20 years of marriage? Maybe some say, after 10 years, after 5 years of marriage, I realize now I'm not compatible. What is compatibility and what's incompatibility? You go around cutting each other and say to each other, I love you, I love you, I love you, and then after that, it's incompatible. Wow! You know, love is something that you raise up together, you live together, you engage together in communication, how to solve things out. You know? You see? So it's not something that we can just poo-poo away. And just go and get a piece of paper and go, you know, from the court and then say, okay, we are divorced and that's it. It isn't like that. We read in the Bible how did God make man. And man alone was himself, was just a creature. And now, and from the side of Adam, God took this feminine spirit and make it to a woman and give it back to Adam. Because she was taken off from Adam and God gave it back to him. Is it compatible? Was it compatible to Adam? And then Adam could say that to God and say, you know, she's not compatible with me. She went around praying the fool. Slept with the serpent. We can go around, you know, giving all kinds of excuses. Now, look at this letter that came in from, I said this is from India. I have a few others, you know, before that. From, you know, Philippines. Other parts of India also came with letter regarding marriage and divorce. Other parts of the continent of Africa. Even Europe, even America. The issue about marriage issue, about getting a boyfriend, a boy for a husband, or getting a girl for a wife. And here is this common thing that comes in like this, from India. Say, brother, I want to ask a question regarding marriage. Suppose one believing brother want to marry an unbelieving girl, and that girl also agreed to marry him. She and her family accepted all our terms and conditions. Example, she would not wear, you know, these Hindu traditional dresses. She would not cut her hairs. She says she would not put on her lipstick, etc., etc. And the marriage would take place as a Christian marriage. Can they marry each other? Is baptism necessary for the girl for this marriage? Because I suppose she will accept marriage, she will accept baptism only for the marriage. Is the believer's marriage possible when both of them baptize? Alright, here's a case of a believing girl, boy in this part of India wanted to marry a girl who is from a Hindu family. And the girl promised, okay, I will not wear all this Hindu stuff. Put on makeup and all, you know, the Hindus, girls, all the things that they dress. And she agreed to keep on long hair and said she will not put on color, paint her face. And she will go through the Christian marriage. And perhaps she also agrees, okay, I'll get baptized just for the second marriage. And is it possible? And so I give him my answer right above here. I said, brother, if the girl married the Christian man, she's only marrying him because they want to marry. Right? But if the girl is not a true believer in the first place, if she's not born again, what do you think will happen later on after they are married? What happens if she becomes rebellious later and start wearing all those Hindu dress and makeup and etc., etc.? A man who wants to marry a woman, she must make sure that the woman is first of all a born again Christian who loves the Lord Jesus, second, believe the same truth, and is baptized correctly, and thirdly, love the word of God. Also, is it the same? It is also the same for a Christian woman who wants to marry a man. See, marriage is a very serious thing. Once married, there is no divorce. Marriage should not be rushed into it. That's my answer to them. That's a simple answer. Now, obviously, you know, if the Christian man wants to marry this Hindu, all he wants is to marry. And the problem is this, as Bob Ram said, and we all know that's fact. And you young people here, don't get embarrassed, but this is a fact of life that you need to learn. As Bob Ram said, we are all born out of sexual desire. Is that right? That's a fact. We are all born out of sexual desire between our father and our mother. And when a man marries a woman, it's all for sexual desire. Basically, the instinct is there. You cannot say, I love a man or woman and I have no sexual desire for him. That's not true. The way that we are made is because of the spirit, that attribute, that hormone, that chemical that God put there, that there will be an attraction. Is that right? Why is the bee drawn to the flower? Because there is something that he needs. Is that right? That's the pollen, the nectar, whatever he is going to take. You see? So why, I mean, of course, unless that there is a, well, you know, a spirit induced, you know, or intrude into the life of a man or woman that could that make them desire for the same sex. The gay people or the homosexual. You know. So there's something wrong with it. Well, you can say it's the gene, as I said, don't blame it on the gene all the time. You know. The woman blaming it on the gene. But once you become a Christian, if you are a homosexual or a lesbian, you really are wanting to turn around. Because whether you're homosexual, or whether you're a liar, or a murderer, or a fornicator, whatever you are, if you really repent and turn around and get back, be born again, then there is the power of the Holy Spirit to turn you around. And then that is when the battle starts. It's not about the genes. It's about the spirit. We are all born into the world sinful. Came into the world speaking lies and, you know, hypocrisy where we practice. We covet. We do all kinds of things. And every evil thought, as the Bible would say. So it's a battle. You see. You nurture the Spirit of God that God has given you within. That even today, you may not be a homosexual, you may not be a lesbian. But there are spirit that is working in your life. And don't blame it on the genes. So I love mutton soup. I just love mutton soup. Don't blame it on the gene. I love durian. Don't blame it on the gene. Right? I love to tell lies. And that's a very common thing for young man. You know, I'm not a fool, you know. Some people, being a minister here in the pulpit is always the victim here. But I'm not a fool. God guide me through all the years, and I'm told God, Lord, give me the wisdom, the discerning spirit to understand what people are saying in the congregation. Why they say what they say, why they say it. And it is very common. That's why God in the Bible never used a group of men. Very simple. Look at what's going on around the world today. Look at a good example is Thailand. No, this political thing going on. Who was that man that ran away and now he's the red shirt people? He was supporting who? Yeah, you know who that is. You got one person who disagrees with somebody in power, get somebody around, everybody agree, yes, you agree, right, this person is like that, that person is like that. It's the same back in the church. That's how the cliques are formed and how church split. You agree with me, right? The pastor is a big, he thinks he's, you know, he's proud, right? He said this, right? And you get somebody because that person has a little problem with the pastor because he don't agree or because he has been rebuked. He will say, yeah, I agree with you. You get one or a few others and then you create this problem. You should read the Bible about Paul. We talk about it already Friday. Look at Paul. Watch how Paul, look at Corinthians. And you know how the Bible, Paul said, how the news spread even to his ears. They say, you know, his letter is powerful, you know. But his presence is another thing. And Paul said, if I come, personally in front of you, I won't spare. And yet Paul said, you know when I speak like this, it's not for your destruction, but for your edification. But people take it the wrong way. Oh, Paul is proud. He exalted himself. He bragged. He vented his anger. No. His anger is at sin. What did Jesus do when he went to the temple? He beat up all those things. He didn't beat up the man. He threw away all those tables, buying and selling, and the merchandise in the church, in the house of God. Wow, the people said, who are you that you have the right to do this? He said, don't make my father's house a house of merchandise. He dared to do that in the temple. And who was he? He was not even an officer in the temple. You need to understand what God is doing. As I said this many times, do we know the will and the purpose of God in this end time? Or you just come to church and be a Christian and, oh, that's it. We need to know what God is doing. And I said this many times. The end time message is not your token for the rapture. I tell you this. Mind my word. Just because you believe Malachi 4, 5 and 6, baptism in Jesus' name, oneness of the Godhead, one God, and all these things, the serpent seed, you think that is your token for the rapture? Oh no. Jesus said, watch and pray, watch and pray, watch and pray. Not because you know this truth, that's all. No. Watch and pray. What? Watch the word of God unfold for the hour what God is doing now. That's what it is all about. Not just about doctrines. And I said one thing, Calvary itself is doctrine. What happened at Calvary is doctrine, is life, teaching. You see. So you know this is one of the case. Marriage. Let us look into some Bible scripture here quickly. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, and the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of God, the Father, but is of the world. And the world passed away, the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Yeah, we love the world. Yeah, we love that girl. Even though he's not a Christian, she's not a Christian, she's not of the same faith. Now it's okay if you're out there working, you have a colleague that you like. You talk to her, go out there to the canteen, talk to her, but don't talk about just love. After a while, she likes you, you like her, talk about, are you a Christian? You need to let the person know, the boy or the girl that you are, you know, working with, or you have interest in it, you need to let the opposite person know that you are a believer, a Bible believer. If he is of another faith, whether it be a Buddhist or whatever, you need to know, let her know. And if he, and then invite her, talk to her about the gospel, try to get her to see the gospel. And don't say, I love you first. And then you find you have a problem. She might marry you just to please you. You understand? You need to be sure that the person is born again. If he, she, or he is from another fellowship, invite her to your fellowship. Or are you ashamed of this fellowship? Because I'll tell you, it's small, we don't know how to sing, we don't have good musicians. Are you concerned with that? Are you ashamed? In, you know? You want to go to a big church, like the City Harvest Church, or the whatever the rock is? You want to go to those that you see a few thousand? Is that kind of church you want to? That socialized church. People go there because they are friends there, young people there. They go there to socialize. If the brass band is not around, when the person is not around, they won't go to church no more. And I said, when you come to church, don't come here to socialize. You come here to worship God. You come here to fellowship with the brother and sister. You come here, thirdly, to study the Word of God. If you come here just because of someone that you like is not here for a few weeks, then you don't come. Then you are coming here for socializing. Do you understand that? If you come, you cannot come to worship God. I can tell you one thing. You will never ever take the chance to be alone in some place, quiet, and talk to God alone. I can guarantee you that. You will not even take time off to be alone with God and speak to God. Because all you come to church is because of that person. I can fellowship with you, talk with, and socialize after service. We go out here and there. And you can after church, you can go anywhere you want to with anybody. But if that person is not here, you are not here, then that is socialism. You are socializing. And people do that. So don't love the world, don't love the person just because, you know, you just like it and you don't want to follow the Word of God. Exodus chapter 4, verse 20. Here is an example of a man and his wife. Exodus chapter 4, verse 20. Now I want to give this example first, then we're going to look at to the other next letters to see, you know, the issue that this brother has been facing. Here in Exodus chapter 4, verse 20 to 26. And Moses took his wife and his sons. Moses has two sons. His wife's name is Zipporah, if you know. And he has two sons. One of them is Gershom. And the other one is Eliezer. And he sat them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said to Moses, when you go to return into Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand. But I will harden his heart, and he shall not let the people go. Thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto you, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even your firstborn. So it came to pass on the way in the ink that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. And Zipporah took the sharp stones and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband thou art to me. So he let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. Now this passage of scripture, everybody are lost in translation. Okay? The very fact is nobody knows. Many people said, who on earth is he talking about? Who is this that the Lord want to kill? Kill Moses? Or kill who? And so you have a lot of theologians giving all their opinions. Okay? But let me say this one thing. The reason many people say it was Moses was because Moses failed his duty to circumcise his firstborn son, which is Gershom. Okay? Now remember, Moses lived in Midian. And he married a Midianite wife. Now, his father-in-law, Jethro, they all practice circumcision as well. So, somehow or other, Moses already had the commandment from the Lord that you need to circumcise all the male child. Is that right? And those male child that are not circumcised, the male child will die. Will be, you know, removed from the camp of Israel. Shall be destroyed, as the Bible said. So now in this incident, when they were going towards the ink, the Bible said the Lord, of course, he came in the form of a teophany. Met him. Met who? And sought to kill him. Kill who? So they said that it was Moses. And because Moses failed to circumcise the son. No, it is not. No matter even if the father failed to circumcise the son himself needs to be circumcised. He must approach because he knows the law too. It's not a little boy. You understand? So the mother also knows about circumcision. So who is it that the angel of the Lord wanted to kill? It was Gershom, the firstborn, because he was not circumcised. So the wife quickly took a sharp stone, and the angel came. The wife quickly took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of the firstborn. You see? And cast it before Moses and said, you are a bloody husband. For that if If my firstborn son is gone, where is your inheritance? Is it important on the firstborn son? You see? And Zipporah knew the what to do. So she was a good wife. Though he was upset with Moses, perhaps Moses was too busy with his ministry, he forgot all about doing the right thing, about taking time to circumcise his firstborn. But right, look here, this email that was sent to me. Now this brother, I was informed by the sister about what this brother is going through in his marriage life. Now he's a minister, but I didn't know what actually happened. Because all the years I've been through to Africa and different places, there was no sign that he was showing. And in the corresponding with me about what he wanted to do, he didn't say nothing about what he went through. So now the sister told me what he was going through. I said, okay, get him to write me. So he wrote. So I would like to let you know that we met, as he's referring to a sister, on that particular day with her and explained to her the circumstances which I disclosed to her. I also informed her that I've been to such a country for the ministers' meeting and share with other ministers. And they know only one side of the story. And they heard for the first time what I went through. They requested me, of course, to hold on until there was an opportunity to talk to my wife. I want to discuss with them in detail and seek their opinion. And whether to let the church know and the consequences that will follow. So while sharing with the sister, I was of the opinion that it was probably too early to inform you until the minister also exhausted the issue. But for curiosity, it was one reason why I went to another place, another country, because my wife must not be very supportive in the ministry. She told me once she never thought she could be married to a preacher. She has also asked me why I was still leading the church and I promised to lead it to someone else once it's established. Unknown to you, Brother Gunn, your last visit here to a certain church, she categorically and strongly told me no meal could be cooked from our house and told me to go and inform their pastor about this. I tried to ask her why, and she retorted, "I am the one who has said no to say so." This was one reason why the pastor was against me, thinking that I was campaigning for pastorship. So when we went to another city to reconcile, because certain ministers were there to chair the meetings, it emerged that they said, "I am controlled by my wife." Now that is always the problem. Let me say this. When we use the word control by the wife, we need to know how you use that word. You know, my kitchen, my wife controls it. That's a kitchen. She would have certain things laid out in the cupboard in a certain way, right? And that's a woman's place. Paul, if you go and try and shove some of the things around, you say you want to do this way. You don't cook. You don't stay in the kitchen all the time. Is that right? Huh? Yeah, so there are certain things, you know. I mean, there was once and I was just a bit thick-lipped. And you see the advertisement on TV, such and such a detergent is good, such and such a thing is good, so you buy it and give it to the wife. But that's not the brand she wanted. To her, that brand is no good. You know? So, what would I do? You know, he's buying. I said, no, it's good. So said the television ad. That's not the way. So give the money for her to buy whatever she wants. Whatever she wanted, she's dealing with that. That's her place. But who controls the money? If you are the one that brings in the bacon. So because you are the boss. You see. So there are some things that we cannot just simply say, some ministers, because they don't know the problem. I know this is very common. Some ministers or couples or, you know, they are very close together. They love the Lord. They have no problem. They face the problem very well. But not everybody are like that. We are all made up differently. Is that right? Look at Peter, he's hot-headed. Look at Thomas, the same. Of course, we don't read about the life of the wife. You see. They know their place and the wife should know their place. That's all. Just because the wife here does not want to cook or whatever the reason may be, you know, you are controlled by the wife. Later on, of course, the minister apologizes because they don't know the situation. So until you know the situation, don't open your mouth anyhow because it's going to hurt the person real bad. All right? So, continue here. Let me see now, where am I? She does not readily welcome visitor, and every time I have to instruct her. When I go out to visit church member, she refuses to go with me. After I return, she asks, why do you keep going to people's houses? Do you see them coming to your house? So, there's something wrong with that. Okay? Yet it is the face she puts on that repels them. On many occasions, she has denied me conjugate rights, claiming she is tired most of the time, although she is not working and spending time in the house, she has been disobedient to me, and I have been patient with her for 13 years, pleading with her. We almost fought before 2 months of our marriage. Before 2 months of our marriage. I think that's what he means. Alright? I was spiritual before I was married. But when I was staying alone, working away from her, we had multiple problems because our first child, and after our firstborn, I had to separate. She went home to her home in the countryside, and I remained alone. Going to that country where I went the last time, I was to try and heal and felt no need to leave anymore. I didn't want to tend the flock when my house is out of order. I'm more at peace with her at home than when we are together. I have tried to persuade her to work for more than 5 years, letting her know my contract can terminate any time when she does want to work. Even at present, she's not willing to work. Business I was willing to set up for her. I took her for this embroidery course. She has been at home since early 2008. And went to that particular city living alone. I have no intention of marrying again. But if separation will mean I'm disqualified to pastor this church, I'm ready to step down. I no longer have the slightest love for her. Although last year she came once in a while to Nairobi, and pushed me to marital right, which I did unwillingly as I felt like misusing her. And that's a problem. She came back and, you know, want to be together. There's no more feeling for her because the kind of woman that she has become. It's unfortunate, but I'm at the end with her. I feel not able to serve the Lord with her. I had told her we would not have another child with her. I don't know whether it was intentional. We were using natural method and it has been working. But last time around, September, when she came, she kind of tricked me and conceived. I took it as a way for her to buy me. I had no job and it was not in me to have another child. She informed me of the pregnancy after 4 months. Every time I asked her, she was claiming all was well. When I put her to task and asked her what she thought about it, she was rude to me. I thought time we spent apart was enough to humble her, but it has not. Sorry for all this. I have been faithful, although she has mistreated me. I brought my sister to assist her with work in the house to be available for me. But she mistreated her. At one time, my parents came to my house, and after cooking for them once, the other day, she said, I should cook. She was tired of cooking for them. In the year 2008, I called my mother, and we discussed the issue. But she is not changing. I'm tired, and although I don't hate her, I don't love her at all. There are many things apart from this, but I can't accuse her of adultery. This is probably what the ministers would like to hear. That particular sister and a certain other sister in the church had invited her at home while I was away. A brother from another country talked to both of us, and brother and a certain other minister too from a certain other country came for someone's wedding. At one time, I offered her to take all that we have acquired together and leave me, because I have told her time and time again, it's not wealth, but love holds family together. My observation is that she is not happy with a spiritual husband. When you left 2007, and that brother, two brothers came to my home, and they were not, and that two brothers was left behind while you left, brother again. No meal was served to them, you see. And keep telling her what to do, as she can't do it on her own. Okay. At that time, I desired to sin willfully to be disqualified from the ministry. But God warned me. A disease, He healed me 17 years ago, coming back. So I didn't sin, but want to look for a girl to do it and let it be exposed. I know it bothers and disturbs that sister, as it does me. I don't know what else to do. Only feel that I will be at peace without her in my life. And only take care of the children and the church. While she is at home, in her home, and I'm in my city home, I have no problem. The last time we talked was early January. Sometimes we spend more than 6 months without meeting. But I send her a little cash for the upkeep. Thank you. It could be heavy on you as well. So this is kind of woman, when I read it, I realize this brother has gone through a lot. And this is my reply to him. Nothing comes as a shock to me this when I heard of such a thing. An unwilling wife and a rebellious one. If what you describe is truthfully accurate concerning her, it shows that she's not a born-again person entirely. You can't have a person behaving like that and say that she's born again. It is not. Okay? And for the wife to mistreat and deceive the husband. You have husband and wife a problem, but they do not mistreat each other. I am disappointed to hear what some of the ministers said about you being controlled by the wife. Next time, ask them, what they themselves would do if they have a wife like yours? Beat her? Not in a Christian life. We as a man in the faith of the Bible, don't ever lay your hand on a wife. Don't ever slap her. Don't ever beat her. Because we're not barbaric, kind of a fanatic, you know, people who live in a medieval time, live in those extreme religious piousness, only the man had a power over their wife. Even the wife could be a 10-year-old old child. You know, marry a 10-year-old old girl, and wait until when she gets her first period, then he will leave her. And the wife doesn't know how to go, say one thing, one word, slap her, beat her up, tie her up, chain her in the kitchen. You ever seen it? You ever heard about that? It's all over the news. Go on the internet and look at it. So, well, I continued. I said, you can separate from her, but let her be. If she is not happy that you are a minister, you just do what you have to do. Some preachers are good wives because they love and fear the Lord. That's one thing about it. If a woman loves the Lord and fears the Lord, and that's why the husband is blessed when they live together. Do you understand that? Huh? You see, there is something that I read. You know, I just wonder how come husband and wife, they have certain problem after they marry for certain years. And psychology gives their reason you know, marriage counselor give their reason. I think it's all in the newspaper recently, after some celebrities were exposed. Why? It's because the love between husband and wife perhaps grows cold. Or perhaps the wife is sick and cannot have the time with her husband. So the husband go out philandering. That's the problem. You understand that? Of course, in Hollywood, in Bollywood, all the celebrity, they fancy these actors, they go and after they fancy the actress or that actor, they go and sleep around. But here in the Christian life, we all go through problems. Don't say the Christian have no problem. I already told you this. The moment that you became a Christian, you have more problems than when you are not a Christian. You agree with me on that? If I'm not a Christian, I couldn't care less. I can do anything I want. Even if I'm single, or even if I'm married. I can just walk out of the house and do everything I want to, if I feel like it. Is that alright? Sure, you're free. And if you want to go play Toto, you want to go and play Big Ship, you couldn't care less because you don't. Well, after all, you know, we say this about gambling. If you want to gamble, don't! Play $2 total. $5 this, and all that thing. That's covetousness. You're never, never going to stop once you start doing that. And the Bible says, thou shalt not covet. Don't think that it's just for a little fun. Everything is a little fun. Take a little drug. You know, hey, a little bit drunk, you know. There's some medical science. When I had this kidney stone, when I went to the unit because it was so painful, they didn't even want to give me any dosage of a morphine. They tried to give me something else to, you know, a painkiller, but that is nothing that were really that strong that there is a crave for. But because it wasn't working, the doctor gave me a little of that morphine. Just a little bit. And then I feel fine. And you know, if you ever get morphine, you are in another world. That's not why medical science is responsible not to give morphine anyhow. It's just like taking opium. My father took opium because of the pain for many years in those days, back in the 50s, 60s. They don't have the kind of x-ray machine, the pyramid x-ray, where you can show up the tiny little pinhead ulcer at the entrance of exit of the duodenal, you know, where it is, the stomach, the food, before from the stomach, it passes out to the small intestine, it passes through a little area called a duodenal. There is a spinster there, and my father had a little pinhead ulcer there. And it caused so much pain to him that they actually couldn't see anything because they don't have the advanced kind of equipment. So he was introduced to opium and he got stuck with opium, smoking. And I've been there to opium dens as a kid. All the men were lying down in a circle, four of them around the circle, in the center of that, well, of their circle is a little lamp. And there the pipe will be moving around. And my father will be doing all that. My father became an expert in how to make that opium into a pipe and start smoking it. That's right. And these people are all just carefree now. My father lost his business. His investment is gone. His own shop is gone. My father was a shopkeeper. Owned a grocery shop. You know. And one time when I had a problem myself with a stomach pain, my father said, come, smoke a little bit of that opium and see how I feel. I don't know, to me, smoke chokes me. You see, but when people get stuck in the little thing, it is a craving for more. Yeah. You go and pay a total, you strike $200. Yeah, it's good. Let's try a big one. Maybe I get more. Don't ever fall into that temptation. So I told him, I said, okay, you just separate from her. Let her be. Just go, let her live wherever she wants by herself. You just continue to be a minister and preach the gospel. You see, he is not an elder. An elder has a condition laid down in the Bible. As fivefold minister, there's no condition laid down for the fivefold minister. that he must marry such and such a wife, and the children must be like that, like that, like that. No, it's only for the elders of the church, because these elders are elected or ordained by the apostles. You understand? Yeah, because episcopal or the bishop ministration is different from those in the fivefold ministry. You see? And if you know in the Bible many times, you see some of the condition, look at Hosea. You know Hosea? Can you accept that? If you are Hosea and God said, now, go and marry a prostitute. What? God told him to marry a prostitute. What do you want? What is God doing that for? And some people don't understand. They say, oh, brother God, you're telling me that God gave Naamah, a Kenite woman, to Noah? I say, yeah. They say, oh, Noah must be a fool. Really? I give up the things of this world to follow Christ. Am I a fool? They are the thing that, what did Jesus said about building treasures? You want to build up here on earth? Or you love the things of the world? The lust of the flesh? The pride of life? Or the lust of the eyes that you look and see, you like it? Well, just like a brother from Africa last time, from Nigeria, he came over here. He just wanted to see what he can get from Singapore. I took him down to the Sim Lim electronic shop. You know, he already bought a small combo for himself. But he just wanted to go around. And he says, why? Why you want to go around for your guy? Yeah? Oh, you know, brother, again, though I have no money, let me let my eyes last for it for a while. See? You know what I mean? You go to some place, wow, look at that. You know, when you have a car, a nice car, that man, Lexus. Yeah, you're happy. After a while, you see your neighbors, oh my, look at this latest model, man. Look at that. And then you laugh, your eyes look. Every time you come downstairs to a cuppa, you saw, oh boy, maybe I'll buy this. Oh boy. Now you keep on thinking about, you see, what you see, you desire. And you see, one thing about temptation is this, but when the temptation, you fall into it, then you commit sin. That's what it is. Because you know, and don't say God tempt you. God never tempt any man. It's you who are drawn away by it. We are always being tested. That's why here we are on earth. It's always a battlefield. Huh? It's always a battle here. You understand that? You come here today, and this is not a recreation room. It's a battlefield here. You're learning. You know what you've got to put on your armor of the Word of God, a shield of salvation, armor of salvation, and the shield of the Word of God, and so on, to go out into the battlefield against the devil. You see? Alright? So, some preachers have good wives because they love and fear the Lord and are supportive of the gospel work. Some do not. Some even hate it. Such rebellious spirit cannot be controlled by the husband. That's why it is so important to wait on God for a wife. What qualifies you to be a minister? A good wife? An obedient wife? That's for the eldership, the bishop, not the pastor. You lay down condition for your wife and ask her to choose. Live with you truthfully or leave you alone. Take the whole thing to the Lord and wait for an answer. Alright, so finally now he gave me his a little longish story here. This is my reply to him, but this is what he said right here. He said, this is equally lengthy, but please read to the end. I feel for you. But it is good that you have a clear picture. Some members in the church have asked me whether she is born again. Now that's the reason why I said, that kind of wife like this cannot be born again. The way that she, you know, say things to you, and cannot be a spirit of being born again. You know, the words I came to discover and I told her is that she lied to me. I have protected her and only let it out in 2007 when the sister discovered I was changing and looking disturbed. My parents, my brother, sister never told me anything about my wife. Until 2008, when she exposed herself, they have often been mistreated when they came to my house. I have good relatives, to be honest, before God. When I came back from the country where I went to work, I wanted asked to separate, but my mother refused. I never told my father until last year. My father is a believer of the end-time message, except Christ 2002, after he came to my house with a growth, the doctor said it must be operated on. When we pray and he disappeared, he accepted Christ. He has been opposed the idea of separation. But this year, having witnessed, learning how rebellious my wife is, and after the visiting minister talked much about such rebellion with the wife, he didn't argue his, and he is not opposing me anymore. He fellowshipped in the rural home. My wife told the pastor's wife that only my dad is good in our family. So she told my father, who is a treasure in that church. My former pastor, when I was marrying, is this particular pastor of that particular church in that particular city, second largest message church in that particular city. I love this girl but too much. I suffer loneliness as I've been chased away from home by my dad, claiming that I believe the Bible foolish. That was when his father was converted to the truth. They were in another denomination group, and this kind of church that he mentioned here, as you can see, it's a strange church, like very chaotic. I had not come to the message, but was very devoted and deep in the things of God. I left family business, and this almost caused my father to mistreat my wife, for she was with me in the same Pentecostal church that was very close to the message church, as I came to learn after receiving the message of the hour. Our courtship was short, 6 months. She was not open and refused to even let me know her relatives. Very strange. I met her through an elderly brother in the church that I loved and respected. And she was working for her sister as house help. She didn't seem to love me, although I loved her with all my heart, when she was adamant that she didn't want to be married and would never be married. This brother convinced her. He loved me and he loved her as well. But before the pastor announced the engagement, I asked her, we go home to my parents, but she refused. Kind of strange that. Now, if you want to marry somebody, you love somebody, you've got to let your family know who you are going out with. Don't go out there secretly, huh? Young girls, young boys. It's a serious thing. The devil had you. And that's why we get teenage pregnancy, young boy and young girl holding hands, and sooner or later go in the park, walking in the park, sooner or later disappear in the park into some bushes. Right. And who's left carrying the baby? It's always the girl. Not with the boy don't get pregnant. And then after this thing is brought up, the boy says, I don't know, I don't care. And this man sitting right here, brother, could have a lot of experience with all this marriage and divorce and all this investigation stuff too. It's a very common thing. Marriage and divorce, husband cheating on a wife cheating on a husband, and blah, blah, blah. Alright, and he says here, he continues saying, I came back from that particular Sunam country and back to the city. I sent rebellious spirit and informed this dear brother that I am going to ask the pastor to stop the announcement. But he overpowered me and said, we should go ahead. He's a good friend of mine and I would believe he did it in good faith. But he loved both of us. So you see, he was introduced by a brother in the church about this sister. I don't know whether this sister, this girl that he married was the sister of this brother who introduced her to him. You know, it is, well, he kind of let him talk him into marrying her. You know, sometimes you should follow your heart and not just get carried away. But you, let me see, during those days when you ask a girl for marriage and you are engaged, there's no turning back. It was taken that we are married, and I was reminded of this. To this day, there are some sisters who are not married in the main church because they have been engaged and have remained unmarried. So I accept it. I have ever since last year reminded this friend that I wish he listened to me then. Well, you know, once you make a decision, you don't blame anybody else anymore. You make your own decision. And let me say this one thing. Don't let, because this is always the frustration thing that is always happening. We as parents, let me remind the parents. Sandy, maybe your child is married. No, my son is not married yet. And but anyway, we all don't have anybody else is married. But you probably realize sometime that when a person's the son or the daughter brought home, you know, the friend, and introduced to the family. So the mother or the father was scrutinized, that the boyfriend or the girlfriend, right? And then, you know, after a while, if they feel that, that's no good. So tell the daughter or the son, don't marry her, huh? Okay? I tell you not marry, he has no good character, she has no good character, huh? And then after they're married, if everything goes fine, they never eat their wood. But if there should be some problem start, the parent will always, if the girl come back, the daughter come back, I told you what, that he's a bad character. I told you what, right son, that she has a bad character, she's just like a mother, he's just like a father, or he's just like a father, and yes, this. I heard until I'm so fed up with it. And then you know what? Oh. The wife will tell the husband, my mother said about you exactly, I should have listened to her. You ever heard of this? Yes. Don't ever do that. You make a choice. You leave it. Deal with it. That's what the important of sacraments of marriage. It's always the worst condition, the problem of the world today, you know. It's not just about politics. It's in every family. How are you going to deal with it? You have to deal with it. So while I continue saying, before 2 months was over, we had started experiencing problem. And I told him, he would quarrel when I went to visit families as early as 1996, and we were married 95. When we were 1.5 years old, she was so rude to me, sassed me, and I slapped her. Oh, he got so furious, now he slapped her. And I understand that when a husband slapped a wife, it must be really extremely frustrating. And all of a sudden, pow! But man, you need to control. Because once you do that, the wife will always remember. Because she is a weaker vessel. She escalated and I slapped her again. Second time. My. This is the last time. That is the last time I beat her. I don't believe in it. But yet he did it. Must be very frustrated. I have suffered and cried. Wept many times. Pleading with her. We built our home. There is raised a lovely family since we are old. And not of us looking to be married again. But this does not touch her. I used to shop an entire month. Every morning give her money. She required to buy fresh supply. But we have eaten poorly and hardly cooked meal. At one time, I wanted to take her for the cooking course. I kept asking her to improve her cooking. One day I suggested to learn from my sister. She told me, why don't you go there and she'll be cooking for you. You see how sarcastic that really is? I took her for computer lessons. Her exam but failed one subject. She could not take a certificate until she repeated the exam. I tried to push her. She refused to date, no certificate. I've taken her for driving course. She ended up losing 2 teeth. I took her. Oh, no. She lost 2 teeth. I took her for. I talked with a nurse. I talked with a nurse of mine, a friend of mine, to get us a doctor to have her fitted with artificial teeth. She was booked for clinic and only attended 2 clinic and stopped. I asked her why. She says she's not going again. We have medical cover when I was working. She knows my practice is either walk by faith or by praying for the member of our family or take the sick to the hospital. When she would know the child is sick, never tell me, don't take the child to the hospital, I will fail to go to work to do it myself. When I was working away in another town, away from the city, she would call and write letters to me. I used to come home after 6 weeks, but there's no excitement to show she has been missing me. She would even continue sitting down when I arrived. I tried to discuss this with her, but no change. I was in another country. She was not calling, although I've given her a lot of money. Others in the church would even attempt to call me, and I would call back, but she would not bother. We have talked over this for years and asked her to get a friend close to her to open up, because she doesn't to me, and say where I'm wrong or changes she wanted me. She doesn't. My children are not allowed to go out and play with others. They are confined. It sounds very familiar to me. Sometime in the fellowship here too, we have this problem. During the time, she failed to cook for my parents, and I reminded her, I give her a second chance to come and stay with me with the promise she would change, and she would not go back and stay in her place. She told me, send me back to my home and stay behind with the children. I have brought them up enough. It really troubled me. So a mother is abandoning the child, literally the children. It really troubled me, and is why I plan to take them to a boarding school. All the three are now in boarding school. My wife would only call me when in financial need, and will only hug me when I buy her something. She is afraid to hug me and embarrass me in public or in the presence of our children. I used to buy one plot of land in my name, the other in her name. We have two, now there's two plots in her name. In two different cities, I have not denied her anything, and I have tried everything a husband could do to avoid loving her, forgiving her. One wrong thing she finds in me, that's what I came to know about from all these others, so they can verify it. I am sincere and accurate in what I have written, and the minister I open up to during the meetings, I would like them to talk with her alone, so that she won't feel intimidated. Then we can meet all together. So, what she accuses me of is that I forgive her, then remember what I forgive her. That's true. When she repeats so many times, it hurts me. And I remind her that she is doing it again. You see what this brother is, that she forgive her many times, but certain things she did, but she keep on doing the same thing. She's always not happy. When I get angry, when we quarrel, I get so hurt. I give away anything close to me. During such time, whoever comes to borrow money, I don't involve her, and I give it away. Sometimes people cause many of them brother that never return to me, and I forgive them. This hurts her. One time, while with couples in our house, she said, you say husband can pray and something goes wrong with the wife when she is stubborn? Why don't you people pray instead of threatening? I almost told her she spoke like a foolish woman, but I refrained. I also have another mistake. I married her against her will. That's the problem. She was pushed and probably didn't love me. Don't miss me, went away. When in conjugal life, she refused. She used to tell me, finish quickly and I want to go to bed. When she got pregnant, she was afraid people would know what I did to her. Why in that particular church we were in, I would plead with her, I stand in front to interpret. When you fail to satisfy me, you make me last for sisters in the church. It didn't bother her any one time. So 2008, pray for God to help me forget about sexual desire and touch. It has not bothered me like it was before. Even the message didn't get across to her. You know, when a wife did not give the conjugate rights to the husband, you're going to cause the husband to lust after the other woman, and vice versa. That's what about Paul said. You know, men, your body do not belong to you, it belongs to your wife. And so likewise, the wife's body belongs to the man. You see? So this is one thing about people in couple who doesn't understand each other, and they don't treat each other well, they become a problem. So now the ministers came, and some sister never knew I had problem with my wife, had come and told me dreams about my wife throwing stone at me when I was preaching. I started family devotions Wednesday, Friday in my house. She would go and sleep and show lack of interest. Personally, God has shown me twice she was practicing witchcraft, but I took it for disobedience. I would not necessarily say that she is involved in actual witchcraft. That's why in Africa, there are a lot of Christian people so-called in churches that are actually not Christian. They will practice their witchcraft. They are not born again. And so I feel for this brother, you know, caught up in a marriage all of a sudden like that. Whether he was quick to go and marry it, or when he was refusing it, he was being pushed to it. That's why marriage is a sacred thing in the eyes of God, and should not be taken lightly. So it goes on, but let's quickly go down quickly to some of the other thing here. But nevertheless, I know I am accountable for all my deed, and should pray that God help me. Thank you for taking time to read this, brother. I am not very spiritual, but I love God with all my heart. I might not know many things, but I have something in me that yearns and long for a deeper fellowship with God. It disturbs you when in the church you have family with domestic problems. And when you go to help them, they remain saying, he's coming to help us, but he has not managed his own house. So he hurts and demoralizes me. God bless you and also remember me in your prayer. And as that said, let's go to a few scriptures as we finish off with this. Now we know about Jacob's deception in the book of Genesis chapter 27. Now, we know that Jacob loved venison. But Jacob had lost his spiritual vision. Isaac. Isaac has lost his spiritual vision because of his covetousness or his lust for that venison. The thing is that Esau will bring and cook for him. So when it came time and he was already losing his sight, but his wife, Rebecca, knew the plan of God. And so his wife did what was to be done so that the blessing will be passed to the rightful one who actually received the inheritance already passed over to him from Esau. So that's the kind of wife who is spiritual. So it's good to have a wife who is spiritual and continue to love the Lord. Is that not right? It is a good thing. Now we read about the case of Ruth in the book of Ruth. The story of Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. The kind of person that Ruth was. The kind of a woman that Naomi was to her. You see, they loved the Lord. Ruth loved the mother-in-law. You see? And here was a man, Boaz, was a gentleman. And each one of them, if you read the story, they have respect one for another. You understand the respect? Yes. And that's the important thing about respect, because they respect the word of God. But here we have another story about a man called Samson in the book of Judges chapter 14. Samson, he was a man who runs wild. And how many wives does he have? Well, we won't say the second one was a wife, but he went to join himself to a harlot. Huh? The first one was a Philistine woman, Timna. Told the parents, I want her. Get it for me. So he was in a hurry to get married. And sure, of course, God took the occasion to use that against the Philistine. But after that, what happened? When he was gone, they kicked him out and he went around and he went to a harlot. Then after that, finally, the last one, he married Delilah. Huh? So what kind of life did Samson live? See, he was a mess. Going after a strange woman. The father told him, why must you marry this Philistine woman? Is there not a man here in the land of Israel for you? So you girls, you brothers, young girls, young boys, you don't just simply go out and look for a boy or girl out there. Be prayerful. Make sure that the person is born again. Love the Lord. Believe in the same faith before you enter into a marriage. Or else you find yourself in a big problem. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Let us read that. Hebrews chapter 14. Chapter 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Marriage is honorable, that's true. So let us think seriously about sacraments of marriage.
And when you come to merit, let me remind you this. First of all, you love the Lord. If you love the Lord, you will respect God's word. Is that all right? Okay? And if you respect God's word, you respect what the word of God teaches you. To respect the authority in the church that you belong to. Now, in America, they do anything they want to. Here's a Baptist girl, and there is a Methodist boy. Okay, from two different states. They want to get married. They don't want to go to church. They simply go to Viva Las Vegas. They go somewhere in Las Vegas, right? And get married by some of these, what I don't know, registrar of marriage. You all know, huh? You know that, don't you? In Las Vegas, you can just go and marry anytime. And you want to get divorced? Go back to the same place and you get divorced. Instant divorce, instant marriage. But if you love the Lord in the church that you fellowship with, you get married in the church that you fellowship. Because you love the Lord, you love the Word, you honor God, you honor God's man whom God put in the pulpit. That has been feeding you. He said, we all have to do, because if we don't, then what is the church? Now, see Brother Ben. He came all the way from Nebraska to marry Sister Eunice. Because, you see why? They could marry over there because their Ben is in their fellowship. But because here in the story of the Bible, we know that the bridegroom goes to the bridegroom and marry her, right? Then bring her back. And that's why I told them. I said, well, if you want them to go, that's okay. You see? You know? But we have a custom which we want to observe. And we want to follow the Bible away in whatever we can. So the bridegroom come, marry the bride, then take her home, and there they can have another ceremony, if they want. Another buffet, another banquet. You understand? You see? So there are certain things, the protocol. One thing for sure, remember this. Who is first in your life? It's God. Is that alright? Yes. So who is next in your life? When you are married, it's your wife. It's your husband. That's obvious. Right? So, accord the respect to whom the respect is due. That's why Adam said, when God presented the woman to him, he said this, thou art bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And Adam don't even have a father and a mother. He said, for this cause shall a man leave the father and mother and cleave to the man. Is that right? Who do you respect? You know, when I'm married now, who do I respect the most? Yeah, the Bible says, honor thy father and mother. But who is first in your life? Between your father and your wife. Who is first? It's your wife. It's your husband. Not your father. Because now you have someone that belongs to you that is from your side. You understand? And this, as Adam said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and cleave unto the house, to the husband. Is that right? You get it? Cleave unto the man. So the husband say, this is the way we want it. No! My father said, this way. He's not a father. We want to live in Pongo. No! My father wants me to live in Tuas. What? Your father come first? God come first place. You respect God, you know God's word. You follow the way it goes. Or else you know what will happen? Your marriage is not going to work. If we don't subject our life to Christ, for He loves us. The Bible says, submit ourselves to the husband, right? So Christ is our husband. So if we don't, how can there be a relationship between us and Christ? We can't. It won't work that way. There has to be a headship. And the headship is Christ. Christ is to God. That's what it is. And so young people, when you go out, you got to know somebody, please, bring them or bring him or her to your father. Let them know who you are going out with. They need to know what kind of girl or boy that person is. Get to know whether they are a believer or a Christian. Because you don't want to go out and end up your life in a mess later on. You understand that? We know those that make mistakes, it's all in the hands of God. And how the God will deal with them. How the God will bring them about. I don't know. You see, may God have mercy upon every one of us, even for this brother, praying that, you know, God give him wisdom to do what he must do. I know he's going to this situation. It's not an easy situation to deal with. And so there are others too. Not only just him, as I said. India, Philippines, Europe and America, they all have the same problem when it comes to this marriage, this institution. May God help every one of us. Heavenly Father, your grace, Lord, we thank you. Your blessing with us also, Father. Lord, may we all think seriously, O Lord, of this sacraments of the marriage life. And it's, O Lord, that you have, that's the very first one that you instituted, Lord, anyway, and the relationship between a man and a woman. So, Father, you help us, the parents, Lord, as husband and wife, to live harmoniously, Lord, and learn in every way to love and to forgive, forget, grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we know we love you, we know, Lord, we keep your commandment and you guide us through and all this problem in life. Commit, O Lord, this brother and others, Lord, who are facing the same situation, whether they are already married or those that are getting married. The Lord making the right choice. It's important, Father. And that choice should be in the will of the Lord as your Spirit guides each and every one, O Father, to do what is right before your sight. We thank you, Lord. We commit all these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.